How do you feed 9 billion people? That's how many of us will be living on this planet in 40 years. On a planet whose climate is changing much faster than science predicted. So how are we going to pull this off? The venerable National Geographic magazine tackles that question over 8 issues, looking at questions surrounding meat production, aquaculture, the origin of the diet, and the Green Revolution. Well, Dennis Dimmick is executive editor of the magazine. Dennis, thanks for joining us. Good to have you with us.
Hello, Lynn. Nice to talk to you today.
Dennis, I'd like to talk about the article in the May issue by John Foley that talks about how we're going to feed 9 billion people. And he outlines 5 steps. Could you go through them for us?
Sure. Actually, it originated in a research paper that he and a team from the University of Minnesota and other universities assembled and published in the journal Nature in October of 2011. And what we did with John then is to distill that down. And the 5 points are, 1, we need to stop cutting forests and plowing grasslands to improve food productivity. That's how historically we have done it in the past, to raise the amount of food we grow, we just cut forests and plow grasslands. Well, if you want to save forests, if you want to save tigers, if you want to save ecosystems, we need to stop that. Another step is really taking a look at the farms that we already have and see what can we do to improve output yields from all of those farms, especially in places like Africa, Latin America, and Eastern Europe. There's this idea called yield gap, which means the difference between what many farms are doing and what could be done in a particular area. There's a third dimension here, using resources more efficiently. And this is a really fascinating area where agriculture is becoming much more efficient in its use of fertilizers, of water, of energy, to try to do things like reduce nitrate runoff pollution that creates dead zones. But also, as we see more droughts around the world, the idea that we can get more out of the water that we have available so that we can keep growing crops. And I think that this is, it's important to note that this is really not a sort of a big ag versus organic kind of view. It's like everybody has a contribution here, like organic farming can greatly reduce the use of water and chemicals by using things like cover crops, mulches, and compost, all that kind of thing. Actually, it's like everybody has a contribution to make. The fourth of the 5 is to shift diets. This question of how much meat and what kind. When you take a look at what our crops are being grown for, if you look, for example, around the world, 55% of crops are grown to feed people, and 45% or the remainder are grown to feed livestock and for things like energy. And so if you're trying to get more calories to people, the question is how much meat, what kind, beef, chicken, pork, how much of that can we afford to feed when we know that, for example, say a pound of beef might take 10 pounds of grain. Pound of chicken might take 4 pounds of grain. Fish can take slightly over a pound. So in one sense, as an individual, you could decide, well, I'm going to eat less beef and eat more fish, and know that by doing that, you reduce your the amount of land, water, and energy that's being devoted to provide for what you put in your market basket. And the last piece really is about reducing waste. And there's 2 parts of this. On the front side is on the farm production marketing side. In many underdeveloped countries, in nations that have poor roads, storage, refrigeration, a lot of food could be saved if we had better systems to capture the crop as it's coming off of the field and it's kept refrigerated, or we keep bugs and insects out of the grains. That has a huge impact. That's one kind of food waste that could make more food available for people. But on the other side of that coin is when we look here in the United States, it's about, oh gosh, anywhere from 40 to 50% of the food that we have here available to us in this country is thrown away.
That's stunning. 2 figures stand out for me. And one is 45% of what's grown is going to feed animals, that piece, but also, well, for instance, you talked about a field of corn and how it breaks out. The idea of how much of this that's grown doesn't really come into our mouths.
Right. That's an interesting idea to think about when you see vast fields, say, of corn and soybeans. And if you take a look at an acre of corn, for example, in round numbers, say in the U.S., this is not sweet corn. This is field corn mm-hmm. that you say when you're traveling across Iowa or Illinois, you see it in large fields. About half of that goes to feed cattle. About a quarter goes now to feed cars, and most of the rest goes to create what's called high fructose corn syrup, which is sugar. That's something to think about, because to think that we're growing this stuff to feed people, actually these feed grade corns are not really specifically designed to feed to people. So if you were going to change the use of the landscape, you're going to have to grow a different kind of crop.
A lot to consider. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
Dennis Dimmick is executive editor of National Geographic magazine. The series on How Do We Feed 9 Billion People runs for 8 issues beginning May 2014.